Welcome to the Consecrating Your Life podcast, hosted by me, Elena Aburto, and my mom, Reina Aburto. On today's episode, we discuss what the scriptures say about abuse. This is a difficult topic to talk about, and we hope that you take the time to study on your own in the scriptures to see what you find about abuse, and we hope that you educate yourself on this topic using other reliable sources. We hope you enjoy this episode. Okay, so today's episode is about abuse, and we are not experts on this topic by any means, but because of that, we're really going to focus on what the scriptures say about it and what we have learned from other people and from our own research about it. And we hope that this just opens the discussion in your own home, in your own family, in your own wards. The definition of abuse is just anything that you do that harms somebody else, like any kind of misuse, any kind of hurt, but especially it's when it's regular and repeated. That's the kind of abuse that we're talking about, is when it's just, it really is clearly like not an okay situation.
So mostly like an unrighteous dominion, right?
Yes. Because I mean, we all hurt people every once in a while, but when it's repeated, and that's when it's just not okay. So even though obviously it's common knowledge that Jesus has told us to love everybody, I feel like we don't talk as much about the fact that Jesus set boundaries too when he was on the earth. Like, just an example of that is, like, sometimes he would withdraw from people to be alone. Like, he didn't always, even though, yeah, we do talk about that he was always ministering to other people, but there were times where he needed to take time to himself and he withdrew from the crowd and just like went into the mountains or something. Meaning that he didn't just let people walk all over him. And then also, there was a time when he was preaching to the people in Nazareth and they didn't like what he was preaching about because they were like, you're not the Messiah kind of thing. And so in Luke chapter 4, in verses 28 through 30, says that they, when they heard these things, they were filled with wrath. And so they rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him into a brew of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. So meaning that they were going to throw him off a cliff, basically. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. So he just walked away from them.
He didn't let them.
Yeah, meaning he didn't let them
hurt him.
Yeah. If I'm correct, I think that he also didn't give those people the opportunity to hurt him again. Like, I don't think he ever went back to Nazareth after
yes.
that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one example. Another example that I find to be really important is in Doctrine and Covenants, section 98, where in verse 40, it quotes that verse that we've heard a lot where it says, like, if somebody hurts you, you're going to forgive him until 70 times 7. But I feel like that verse is talking about just how the fact that we're not all perfect and you are going to have to forgive the people in your life over and over again. But then it goes on in verses 41 through 45 to talk about an abusive situation. So this is talking about when the saints were physically abused, like they were tarred and feathered and things like that. And so verse 41, it says, if he trespass against thee and repent not the first time, nevertheless thou shalt forgive him. If he trespass against thee a second time and repent not, nevertheless thou shalt forgive him. If he trespass against thee the third time and repent not, thou shalt also forgive him. But if he trespass against thee the fourth time, thou shalt not forgive him, but shall bring these testimonies before the Lord, and they shall not be blotted out until he repent and reward thee fourfold in all things wherewith he has trespassed against thee. And if he do this, thou shalt forgive him with all thine heart. And if he do not this, I, the Lord, will avenge thee of thine enemy 100-fold. So just in my own words, I would interpret that to say, if somebody repeatedly hurts you in a way that like really is not okay, it's not up to you to fix it anymore. Like, you can turn it over to the Lord. He will be like the righteous judge, but you don't have to associate with that person anymore. If somebody hurts you, you need to get out of the situation, basically.
Yes. I think that another important concept here or principle is the principle of agency, you know, which is a gift from God that allows us to make our own decisions and to decide how we want to face some situations. And no one has the right to take somebody else's agency. And I think that sometimes when you are in the middle of an abusive situation or relationship, that abuse comes from the fact that that person is trying to take away your agency. And that is something that I think that is very important to know that it is our gift, and to also teach children and, you know, people around us that the gift of agency is sacred and that nobody can take it away from you.
Yes.
Like, we know there are different kinds of abuse. You know, we could talk about emotional, physical, financial, and even sexual abuse. And again, all of those are forms in which people take away agency from other people. Like I said, it's very important that we talk about these things so we can be more aware of the signs that could be happening in relationships where we are, or that we can also help other people that may be in the middle of those kinds of relationships. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I would recommend is that we inform ourselves about all of this. You know, there is so much information out there now. The church has information on their website and the Life Help section of the Gospel Library, for example. And I believe that it is important to talk about these issues and to be open with the younger generations so they understand what it means.
Yes. One of the scriptures that I find just absolutely devastating is just in the Bible, where it talks about how Judas betrayed Jesus with a kiss, because like he betrayed him with something that should be a very like intimate and special act of love. You know what I mean? I take comfort in the fact that Jesus understands us when we are hurt by somebody so profoundly like that, you know?
Yes, I think that is significant, because he kind of took advantage of the fact that he was close to the Savior to be able to use that as a sign for the people so they will know who he was and who to capture. I think that whatever our situation is and wherever we are in life, we just need to be careful about the kinds of relationships that we have with other people. And even to keep asking ourselves, is it I, Lord? Or what do I still lack? You know, there are some questions similar to that in the scriptures. And to try to assess ourselves and the relationships in which we are, to make sure that we are not falling into that trap of being abusive with others, sometimes being unintentionally. And that also we are aware of the signs, like I said before, and that we can also help other people. I think that if someone comes to us who is in a situation in which they feel that maybe they're being abused, we just need to be open. We need to be a safe person for our friends and our family members, so they can feel free to come and tell us if they're going through something like that, and just listen to them. You know, the best thing that we can do is to believe them and to listen to them and to help them go through the situation and help them heal from it, and to be protected also, so they cannot be abused anymore.
I do agree with you that we should all like be looking inward and just evaluating ourselves to see whether we are the problem. The problem that I have, though, is that because of my anxiety, I literally feel like everything is my fault. And even if you don't necessarily suffer with anxiety like I do know of at least like a few of my friends that feel that same way in their relationships, where it's like they feel like they have to please their partner and that they kind of neglect their own needs by doing that. And it's really hard to be in a toxic relationship feeling like you're the problem and being blind to the fact that it's actually the other person.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess for me, what's helped me and hopefully my friends too, is that like if I'm confused about something that's happening in the relationship, first of all, if I can't go to the guy about it, that's probably not a good sign in the first place. But like sometimes, yeah, if he's making me feel like I'm the problem, then I'll ask my friends or my trusted loved ones about it. And then they'll let me know like, oh, like this is not okay for him to treat you like this. And so that will open my eyes to like, oh, okay, like this, I probably need to get away from this then. Like you're saying, hopefully like you can find somebody that you do trust and that you can be open with to talk about them with it, and to see what the truth is, like whether it's you're the problem or if he is. So I've been like reading so many quotes about this. One of the quotes that I really liked is that it says, "We all carry red flags. The only difference is that some of us recognize these in ourselves and work to overcome them while others don't."
Well, I think that it's also important to remember that ultimately the source of all help and peace and light and support is the Savior.
Mm-hmm.
Because like you said before, he knows. He knows how we feel and he can also guide us so we can find, you know, peace and rest in our soul. One of my favorite passages of scripture is found on Matthew 11, where the Lord is inviting us to come to him. You know, he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I believe that in a way or another, we all carry some burdens of different kinds. But I do believe that that the Savior can help us, you know, see things more clearly, to understand if we need to get out of our relationship, and also to find peace and to find healing.
Mm-hmm.
Because he can actually do that for us. And many times the way that he does it is through other people. Like you said, we need to be able to talk to people and to ask them what they think, and to also just open our heart and telling them how we feel. Because usually, many times, the Lord brings us healing through other people.
I've heard of at least a couple of cases where the victim in an abusive situation thought that it was their fault.
Mm.
Like, even just in, like, sexual abusive situations. And it's never their fault, though. Like what you're saying, we can go to the Savior for this, and like we can even ask him if we're supposed to repent from something. Something that my therapist told me is that like we should always repent if we did something wrong, but you should never repent if you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if one of the sources of abusive situations is that people just don't know how to deal with conflict, and they just do it in a way that's really like, you know, violent or just really emotionally abusive, instead of just like, you know, peacefully working out conflict.
Mm.
I mean, yeah, I don't really know. I don't have all the solutions to that exactly, but it honestly just like, that's kind of why I think the show Bluey is so popular, because it shows, like, I mean, sure, every story has a conflict, and of course, like, every episode has a little conflict that And I don't know, just the way that they are taught to deal with it, I think is so sweet and very mature and peaceful. And like literally watching that show has made me want to be a better person. So, but yeah, I don't know. I really truly wish that I could handle conflict the way that they do.
So, well, that shows that we need to go to sources that give us that kind of feeling and understanding, you know, and there are many sources that we can go to help us understand how to deal with conflict, how to improve our relationships, how to improve the way we interact with other people. And I think that we have so many sources at our hands. Yeah. You know?
I mean, I think just especially reading how Jesus handled anything is obviously like a really, really great resource. Yeah, again, I mean, it can just go either way that like we can look to him and how he also set boundaries, though. Sometimes you need to separate yourself, and it's easier to heal from the pain when you separate yourself from the ones that are causing it. So it's just important to surround yourself with people who will go out of their way to not hurt your heart. But I think especially when it comes to dating, though, like it does just kind of worry me when we tolerate things that we shouldn't tolerate. I really like this scripture in Matthew 18 that my therapist showed me once, verses 15 through 17. It says, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican." In my own words, it's saying if somebody doesn't care that they hurt you, you should avoid them. Since people don't quote these scriptures very often, like we don't hear this, and we should, because like in my, I remember with one of my friends in particular, we were talking about these kinds of things, and she and I were like, we're both really forgiving with guys most of the time. But there's a difference between seeing the good in somebody and also like lying to yourself about who they actually are and what they're doing. And so it's just important to be aware of that. That like, yes, even if you are humble and you just want to love everybody, like you do need to draw those lines when it's not okay.
Yes. And like you said before, the red flags are there. Mm-hmm. And many times we see them, but we kind of ignore them. So we need to be believe, you know, those feelings that we have sometimes that are saying, this is not right. Mm-hmm. We need to be more compassionate with ourselves and to believe those kinds of promptings and or feelings that we have that are telling us that we need to probably, you know, get out of that situation or relationship.
Yes. You can still forgive somebody without letting them be in your life or letting them hurt you again. Mm. There's always a possibility that you can be healed, whether in this life or the next life. What does this topic have to do with consecrating our lives to the Savior?
Well, the first thing that came to my mind is the baptismal covenant that we find in Mosiah 18, where it says, you know, if ye are desirous to come unto the fold of God, to be called his people, and are willing to bear one another's burdens, that they may be light, and are willing to mourn with those that mourn, and comfort those that are standing in need of comfort. I feel that this applies to other people when we are trying to help them and protect them and to help them see if they are really being abused or not, that we need to mourn with them, that we need to comfort them. But I think it also applies to us, that we also need to be gracious and compassionate with ourselves. And I think that by doing that, we are keeping the second great commandment, which is to love others the way that the Savior has loved us. And in turn, we are keeping the first one, which is to love God So I think that by just being more compassionate with other people and also with ourselves, and to rely on the grace of Christ, also knowing that he has the power to help us mm-hmm. overcome any situation.
Obviously, like, this topic makes me really sad, and it is kind of hard to accept that people will treat people so terribly and everything. But I think when we consecrate our life to Jesus, he really gives a purpose and a way out of any trials that we have in our lives. And so no matter what we go through, we can always turn to him. And like, if we just really do our best to dedicate our lives to him, then we can have the confidence that we are doing the right thing, and that we're hopefully not, you know, abusing anyone unintentionally. And so I'm really grateful for the hope that he has given me. We hope you enjoyed this episode. In the show notes, I will put the references to the scriptures that we quoted, and also to other resources that the church has regarding abuse. As always, if you ever want to keep in touch with us, message us on Instagram or Facebook @ConsecratingPod. We love you and hope to see you next time.